From Washington, this is VOA's International Edition. Coming up, the Islamic State threats and what's being done about them. Special UN gathering on fighting the Ebola outbreak. Also ahead, America's chief law enforcement officer resigns. Hello, everyone. I'm Steve Norman. Iraqi Prime Minister Haider al-Abadi spoke with reporters outside the United Nations in New York on Thursday, saying his government had received information that Islamic State militants plan to attack subway systems in Paris and in the United States. Here's some of what he had to say.
Well, yesterday they reckon there's a plot to do operations in Paris and in the U.S.
A plot they're aware of, or that they disrupted, or what?
It's not being disrupted yet.
No, this is the people they've captured who are conveying.
This is a network.
But is it something that is believed to be imminent, this plot?
Or? I'm not sure.
And you've conveyed this to the United States, of course.
Yes.
And what was their response?
I don't know.
A senior White House official speaking on condition of anonymity said the U.S. government was not aware of any such plot, adding that the issue was not raised during meetings between the U.S. and Iraqi officials this week. The New York City Police Department said it was aware of Mr. Abadi's warning and is in close contact with federal authorities to assess the threat. New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio reiterated that point to reporters late Thursday.
We are in close contact, close coordination with the federal government in all we're doing. And NYPD Intelligence Bureau, which everyone knows has outposts all over the world and is the leader in terms of this work and local law enforcement all over the country, has assessed the statements of the Iraqi Prime Minister and at this point finds no specific credible threat.
And New York Governor Andrew Cuomo and New Jersey Governor Chris Christie have signed an agreement on beefing up security on transportation services which feed New York City, which operates one of the busiest subway systems in the world. Governor Cuomo spoke to reporters while traveling on the New York City subway Thursday.
Our message today is very simple. There's no doubt that given what this country is doing, fighting terrorism, as it should be, that there is an increased tension. This nation has taken aggressive action, as it should. And obviously, every New Yorker is aware of that. And every New Yorker is aware that New York is a potential target for retaliation by these terrorist networks. Since the tensions first escalated, we have been working very hard, literally 7 days a week, to make sure that New York is more prepared than it has ever been prepared before.
The United States and France, apparently the focus of the threat Prime Minister Abadi spoke of, have both launched airstrikes against Islamic State targets in Iraq as part of a U.S.-led campaign to degrade and destroy the radical Sunni militant group. Updating the media on the air campaign against the militants, Rear Admiral John Kirby spoke Thursday at U.S. Defense Headquarters outside Washington.
U.S. military forces and partner nations, including the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia and the United Arab Emirates, attacked 12 ISIL-controlled modular oil refineries located in remote areas of eastern Syria in the vicinity of Al-Mayadin, Al-Hasaka, and Abu Kamal. We also hit an ISIL vehicle in the same general area of the country. We are still assessing the outcomes of these attacks, but initially we believe they were successful.
Admiral Kirby then responded to a reporter question about how long it might take to degrade and destroy the Islamic State.
This is going to take time. This is not a short-term effort. And nobody here in the building is taking anything but a sober, clear-eyed view of the challenge in front of us. And so your question gets at how do you know you're winning? And what I'm telling you is that's going to take us a while to be able to say that, because this organization is still, even after the hits they've taken, and they have been hit, they still have financing at their fingertips. They still have plenty of volunteers. They still have plenty of weapons and vehicles and the ability to move around. They still control a wide swath inside Iraq, no question about it. This is just, as I said the other day, and I think I want to state it again, this is just the beginning.
That is U.S. Defense Department spokesman Rear Admiral John Kirby speaking Thursday at the Pentagon. Earlier on Thursday, France said it would increase security on transportation and in public places after a French tourist was killed in Algeria this week and said it was ready to support all states that requested its help to fight terror. Lisa Bride is in Paris with our report.
French flags will be flying at half-staff on public buildings Friday and Saturday as the country mourns the death of Hervé Gourdel. The decapitation of the 55-year-old French mountain guide marks an alarming departure from other hostage executions in recent weeks. This time, the authors were not Islamic State militants, but jihadists from an allied group called the Soldiers of the Caliphate. Gourdel was not captured in conflict-torn Syria or Iraq, but in the mountains of Algeria, which fought its own bloody civil war against Islamists in the 1990s. On Thursday, French President François Hollande met with his ministers on reinforcing security and expanding airstrikes against Islamic State targets in Iraq. Earlier from the United Nations, Mr. Hollande denounced Gourdel's execution as cowardly and cruel.
Est-ce que face à ce terrorisme, nous allons rester spectateurs ou est-ce que nous allons être ensemble?
President Hollande urged the international community not to remain spectators, but to become actors against barbarian acts and terrorism. Gourdel's death has sparked sorrow, anger and fear in France. After Paris launched airstrikes last week on Islamic State targets in Iraq, the group has urged Muslims to kill Americans and Europeans, including what they called the filthy French. France has been targeted by Islamists before. During Algeria's civil war, Algerian extremists bombed a Paris subway and hijacked a French plane. 2 years ago, Frenchman Mohamed Merah killed seven people around Toulouse. But Gourdel's death and the hundreds of French who have joined the Islamic State opens a new and worrying chapter, especially for France's large and mostly moderate Muslim community, which fears it may become the scapegoat of militant Islam.
Il y a celui des êtres humains civilisés.
Speaking on French radio, French counselor of the Muslim faith head, Dalil Boubacar, described the jihadists as monsters whose behavior is incomprehensible. Boubacar, who also heads the Paris mosque, has called for a rally on Friday to denounce the militants' barbarity. Lisa Bryant for VOA News, Paris.
And back here in the U.S., President Obama has called on the international community to join in the effort to defeat the Islamic State. The Sunni extremist group, also known by the acronyms ISIL or ISIS, is responsible for massive atrocities in Iraq and Syria, where it's taken control of huge areas. VOA senior correspondent Andre Dineshnera says the barbaric actions of the group may be doing as much as Mr. Obama's special appeal to expand the anti-Islamic State coalition.
The United States counted five Arab allies when it struck Islamic State targets in Syria, supporting President Obama's argument that the militants must be dealt with by a regional and global coalition. Targets in eastern Syria included command and control centers, training facilities, oil refineries, and vehicles. Pentagon officials say this is the beginning of a sustained military campaign that some experts believe may take years. Saudi Arabia, Jordan, Bahrain, and the United Arab Emirates joined the U.S. forces in the strikes, while Qatar played a supporting role. President Obama said Arab participation makes it clear to the world that this is not America's fight alone. Retired Admiral James Stavridis, former Supreme Allied Commander at NATO, says an international coalition is essential.
This is really a challenge for civilization, and that means getting contributions not only from the region but globally.
Stavridis says the Islamic State poses a threat unlike traditional militant organizations.
I think really the closest analog to ISIL is not terrorist groups. They look more to me like a pirate organization. They're reaping riches. They're selling women and children as slaves. They're killing indiscriminately and in a terrorist sort of way. So just as pirates are something that the entire world has to stand up to, I think ISIS is more and more in that category.
President Obama says more than 40 countries have joined the anti-Islamic State coalition, meant, in his words, to degrade and destroy the group. Retired Army General Jack Keane, chairman of the Institute for the Study of War and former vice chief of the U.S. Army, says President Obama must be forceful in making his case to allies for an international coalition against the Islamic State.
When you're fighting battles like this, and you're in obviously a war, that a sense of urgency and aggressiveness and very strong conviction and determination is essential. It communicates throughout your force. I just hope that the President of the United States is speaking with conviction and determination privately on the phone to these coalition partners so that they truly are going to provide real military capabilities and not just moral support or public rhetoric.
International commitments after Mr. Obama's September 10th speech outlining a strategy to combat the Islamic State were few and far between. But the actions of the Islamic State itself may have helped bring others on board. British Prime Minister David Cameron, who reacted in horror to the beheading of a Briton by the extremist group, told the United Nations Security Council he wants his country to play its part. France, too, said it may expand its role and take part in strikes in Syria, hours after Algerian militants linked to the Islamic State beheaded a French citizen. And the momentum appears to be growing. Belgium and the Netherlands said Wednesday they will also take part in airstrikes in Iraq. But Admiral Stavridis and General Keane both say airstrikes alone will not defeat the Islamic State, that ground force will be needed to do the job. Stavridis said the militant group must be stopped.
Nobody's enthusiastic about more difficult, challenging combat in the Middle East, but the reality of the world is such that we have to stand up to these people. They're barbaric, and they cannot be allowed to continue.
That view of the Islamic State appears to be gaining currency around the world. Andre Dineshner of VOA News, Washington.
And you can stay up to date on the fight against the Islamic State at our website, voanews.com. Still ahead, the latest on the Ebola outbreak.
Hello, I'm Carol Castiel, host of Press Conference USA, VOA's weekly newsmaker interview program. Listeners around the globe get insights from authors, analysts, and policymakers on a wide range of topics from U.S. politics and foreign policy to science, culture, and global health. You can listen to Press Conference USA on Saturdays and Sundays. That's Press Conference USA. Every Saturday and Sunday on The Voice of America.
President Obama has told a UN gathering the world is not doing enough to stop the spread of the Ebola virus in West Africa. VOA White House correspondent Luis Ramirez reports from the United Nations.
It was a dire warning from the U.S. leader, who said the Ebola virus poses a security threat to the West African region and a potential threat to the rest of the world. He said good intentions alone are not enough to beat the epidemic that has killed thousands.
In an era where regional crises can quickly become global threats, stopping Ebola is in the interest of all of us.
U.S. health officials have warned the disease could spread to more than 1 million by early next year. Director of the World Health Organization, Margaret Chan, also at the meeting, says the virus is running ahead, jumping over everything we put in place to slow it down. Mr. Obama came to this high-level gathering days after he announced a $1 billion plan to fight the disease. That plan includes dispatching 3,000 U.S. troops and building clinics and training facilities. Addressing African and global health leaders, the U.S. president says America alone cannot combat the spread of Ebola.
There's still a significant gap between where we are and where we need to be.
Mr. Obama told world leaders nations need to fulfill their verbal commitments and provide concrete aid, including air transport, health workers, medical equipment, and expertise. The urgent call came on Mr. Obama's last day attending the annual session of the United Nations General Assembly. Luis Ramirez, VOA News, at the United Nations.
And during that high-level meeting on Ebola at the UN on Thursday, all three presidents of the country most impacted by the spread of the virus called for an acceleration of international aid to help contain the outbreak. It began in a remote corner of Guinea and has taken hold in much of neighboring Liberia and Sierra Leone, killing nearly 3,000 people in just over 6 months. Senegal and Nigeria have reported cases, but for now they have contained them. As we just heard, Dr. Margaret Chan, the Director General of the WHO, spoke at the UN on Thursday. She called for swift action against Ebola.
action with speed, efficiency, and translate all the pledges into benefits to stop the Ebola, and going beyond the immediate response to make sure that we start talking about early recovery. As we are hearing, we don't do that, we will bring the whole African continent into a meltdown.
And Dr. David DeBarro, the special UN envoy for Ebola, also spoke.
All of us know that the Ebola crisis requires an extraordinary response, far greater and more intense than anything we've ever done before for a health crisis. We have to move quickly, we have to put people at the center of the response, and we have to make certain that our collective efforts are used as efficiently as possible.
And for his part, UN Secretary General Ban Ki-moon recommended that there be an additional United Nations unit developed, which could act as peacekeepers on the medical front. Anthony Bambury is heading the newly formed United Nations Mission for Ebola Emergency Response.
The United Nations is moving at lightning speed to bring a response to the Ebola crisis on the ground to meet the challenges posed by this terrible disease to the people of the region. We are now focused as part of the United Nations Mission for Emergency Ebola Response, UNMEER, on moving as fast as possible to create effect on the ground, change on the ground, and work with partners in the region, the governments, the UN agencies, the NGOs, civil society, to do whatever's necessary to bring an end to this crisis before it spirals out of control.
Actor and Sierra Leone native Idris Elba was on hand to help put a spotlight on the issue.
On a human level, today was a fantastic day. Ebola, it was a bad day for Ebola, I have to be honest, okay? The room, everyone feels the urgency. The whole world is definitely stepping up to fight this crisis, and you could feel the solidarity in the room. That's great. All that being said, as everyone has highlighted here, the work is only beginning now. We need to work fast. We need to work very, very quickly. It seems like we are, but there's a lot of work, and it's going to be for a long time as well.
Global experts issued stark new warnings this week of the scale of West Africa's Ebola outbreak, with the U.S. government estimating between 550,000 and 1.4 million people might be infected in the region by January. Meantime, the World Bank says it's giving another $170 million to West African nations hardest hit by the disease to help them contain its spread, adding to the $230 million it had already approved. And the World Health Organization is saying the situation is deteriorating in Sierra Leone and its capital, Freetown, as well as in the Liberian capital, Monrovia. And now we go to Monrovia, where a month after the Liberian government forced a quarantine on inhabitants of one of the capital's poorest neighborhoods, West Point, the situation appears calm. But people say business, social life, and entertainment have suffered, and other Monrovians treat them like outcasts. Benno Muschler reports on what life is like in West Point following the Ebola quarantine.
It is a cloudy day in Monrovia. Some fishermen are off the shore. This is West Point, a district sitting on the coast of Monrovia, one of the city's poorest neighborhoods, and fishing is one of the main livelihoods. Last month, West Point made global news when the government forced a quarantine on the entire community following a high number of diagnosed Ebola cases. The community rebelled with violent protests. Marta Kaula sits on a canoe near the water. She says things have been quiet since the quarantine was lifted, but life has become much harder.
When we take to market and carry up, people do not want to buy because they say, you all have Ebola here. Business is not the way it used to be, so we end up carrying our business back.
It is not only business that suffered, but also social life, says Robert Sayon, 27, who is unemployed.
They have coffee, and even you go to entertainment spot, you cannot share glass with your brother or your sister because we don't know who is carrying the virus. We don't know who is carrying the virus. So everybody have fear. We are living in fear.
Sayon is angry with the government. Since the end of July, about 50 people have died in West Point. He says it often took up to 5 days until a burial team came to remove the body.
Every day we die here, and the government doesn't care. They don't care about us. They only care about us when they say election, they come to us, they want us to vote them. And we vote for them now. Look at our living condition.
Liberia is one of the world's poorest countries. It does not have resources to deal with the worst outbreak of Ebola in history. The United Nations has declared the West Africa outbreak a threat to international security and is mobilizing global assistance. The United States is spending $175 million and sending 3,000 soldiers in to help with the logistics of testing and setting up treatment centers. West Point is a crowded conglomeration of narrow houses and dirty alleyways. Children play on the muddy ground. People complain there's only one public toilet. Liberian Information Minister Louis Brown says he understands the fear and the anger.
The spread continues to outpace the rate at which we are capable to provide the kinds of support we would like to provide. We are stretched very thin as a government. So we understand some of these criticisms from our people, but it's simply that we need assistance. We need it desperately. We need it now. Because as this virus continues to attack lives, what is under increasing attack is the livelihood of people. The way people have lived, businesses have been shut down. And so the economy is grinding to a halt.
The government says the Ebola outbreak took it by surprise. It blames traditional practices and a low level of education for accelerating the spread of the disease. People in Monrovia have a different opinion. They say no one wants to go to a crowded, unhygienic Ebola treatment center where the risk of infection is even higher if they can even find a center. The Ebola outbreak is expected to continue to grow before it is under control. Benno Müchler for VOA News, Monrovia.
News is mobile and so are you. Get VOA on the go. Get VOA on Google Currents. Get VOA News specifically made for your tablet and smartphone. Clean, simple, fast. Now available for Android or Apple phones or tablets. Download the Google Currents app for free today. Get VOA on Google Currents at voanews.com/currents.
U.S. Attorney General Eric Holder has decided to resign after heading the Justice Department for 6 years. President Obama accepted the resignation on Thursday.
This is bittersweet. But with his typical dedication, Eric has agreed to stay on as Attorney General until I nominate a successor. And that successor is confirmed by the Senate. Which means he'll have a chance to add to a proud career of public service, one that began nearly 40 years ago as a young prosecutor in the department that he now runs.
And appearing alongside the president at the White House, Mr. Holder also spoke.
I come to this moment with very mixed emotions. Proud of what the men and women of the Department of Justice have accomplished over the last 6 years, and at the same time, very sad that I will not be a formal part of the great things that this department and this president will accomplish over the next two. I want to thank you, Mr. President, for the opportunity that you gave me to serve and for giving me the greatest honor of my professional life.
Mr. Holder also said he will never leave the work, but will continue to serve and try to make the nation even more true to its founding ideals. Eric Holder is the first African-American attorney general and has served in that job since President Obama took office in 2009. Technology companies led a broad drop in U.S. stocks that tugged the Dow Jones Industrial Average down 200 points on Thursday. Apple Computers fell more than 3% after the company pulled a software update for its iPhones because users complained they weren't able to make calls. Some investment analysts have been warning that the stock market is long past due for a 10% drop known as a correction. Since World War II, the corrections typically hit every 18 months, according to S&P Capital IQ. There hasn't been one since August of 2011. Many thanks, everyone, for joining us here on the Voice of America for International Edition. It's always good to have you with us. A reminder, you can find this program and most VOA programs on the Internet. All you have to do is go to voanews.com and look under the Programs tab. For our director, Tracy Carter, and engineer, Marty Curcius, I'm Steve Norman in Washington. Have a great Friday.
This is Today in History. On September 26, 1777, British troops occupied Philadelphia, Pennsylvania during the American Revolution. British General William Howe took the city, which was where the American Congress met. The Congress fled to Lancaster and later York, Pennsylvania. The British changed their war strategy the following year, and British forces were withdrawn from Philadelphia. On this day in 1786, protesters shut down the court in Springfield, Massachusetts, an action that led several days later to the beginning of Shays' Rebellion. The rebellion was staged by rural residents, many of them former Revolutionary War veterans, who were hard-pressed by an economic downturn in the new country. The rebels took over banks to keep them from holding hearings for tax and debt collection. The rebellion was put down by the state militia. On this day in 1789, Thomas Jefferson was appointed the first United States Secretary of State. John Jay was appointed the first Chief Justice of the United States. There was big crime news on this day in 1933. A gangster known as Machine Gun Kelly surrendered to the FBI, shouting, "Don't shoot, G-men." The term stuck, and soon FBI agents were being called G-men. On the same day, 10 convicts escaped from the Indiana State Prison with guns smuggled into the facility by bank robber John Dillinger. Dillinger himself was shot and killed by FBI agents the following year. In 1960, Richard Nixon and John Kennedy, candidates for the U.S. presidency, held their first televised debate. Television viewers were impressed by Kennedy's telegenic good looks, and he went on to become president. That's it for today. I'm Dave DeForest with Today in History.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Addressing the United Nations General Assembly, President Barack Obama called violent extremism a cancer that has ravaged parts of the Muslim world, and he called on the world to join forces to eradicate it.
Collectively, we must take concrete steps to address the danger posed by religiously motivated fanatics and the trends that fuel their recruitment.
No God, said President Obama, condones the terror that groups like ISIL, now operating in Syria and Iraq, have unleashed. The murder of children, rape of women, starvation of religious minorities, mutilation of innocent civilians.
There can be no reasoning, no negotiation with this brand of evil. The only language understood by killers like this is the language of force. So the United States of America will work with a broad coalition to dismantle this network of death.
Already, more than 40 nations have joined the coalition against ISIL. The U.S. and its partners are using their military capabilities in a campaign of airstrikes in both countries and will train and equip forces fighting against the terrorists on the ground. The U.S. and other members of the coalition are also working to cut off terrorist financing and to stop the flow of fighters into and out of the region, and urged more nations to join in this effort to degrade and defeat ISIL. President Obama also had a message for the terrorists themselves.
Those who have joined ISIL should leave the battlefield while they can. Those who continue to fight for a hateful cause will find they are increasingly alone. For we will not succumb to threats, and we will demonstrate that the future belongs to those who build, not those who destroy.
President Obama said that the United States will work in other ways as well to eradicate the need for military force to defeat violent extremism, including by encouraging Muslim communities to defend against the corruption of young minds by violent ideology, by stopping the funding that fuels such hate, by addressing the cycle of conflict that creates the conditions terrorists prey upon. President Obama also spoke directly to young people across the Muslim world. You come from a great tradition that stands for education, not ignorance, innovation, not destruction, the dignity of life, not murder. Those who call you away from this path are betraying this tradition, not defending it.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government. For a transcript of this and other VOA editorials, or to receive editorials by email, visit the VOA Editorials Internet homepage at www.voanews.com/editorials.